Good Monday morning, March 11th. I'm pumped to be sitting next to the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Cirillo, right over here. We're talking Marcus Brownlee, Donovan Fisker, Rivian, and GM coming in hot. Here I go. The people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If I said I want no need to repeat, you had that little sideways head bob. That was so strong. It was
I'm always like just so impressed on your timing every morning.
It takes a lot of practice. Sometimes Paul will be like halfway through the intro. I'm like, he's not going to make it. He made it.
Every morning. So I'm like, how do they do that? I couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's not pre-recorded. It is live. We do have the timing way down to a T, more than you could ever imagine. Cirillo, did you like fancy up your background again? Did you change that?
No, it's just all camera trickery. In fact, what people can't see is I'm surrounded by boxes of new swag that just came in. So, like, I'm sitting in a 1 square foot by 1 square foot. Like,
little. That's amazing. I need some more of that. I need some of that new Flex swag. I feel like I need that. That the new FLX care package. That the logo that everybody's gonna copy in 2 years. You know, if you know, you know, right, Cirillo? If you know, you know.
Man, it sucks being on the bleeding edge.
There it is. About. Hey, bleeding edges out here. We got 64 days until AsoduCon. Things are heating up like crazy. We are going to be announcing this week our presenting sponsor. Can't wait to do that. It's still in the hopper, so hang tight with us on that. If you are a part of the WOCAN member group, Women of Color Automotive Network, you're going to want to reach out to the team there and make sure that you get your discounted ticket. They're having a breakfast the very first day of it. Also, if you're in the area, if you're in Maryland, the Maryland Auto Dealers Association is actually hosting their annual meetup at our event the second day on Thursday, which is the 16th. And you can go to the Maryland Auto Dealers Association homepage to learn more about that. Get your tickets. Come on to the whole event. You get your tickets to that. You get your ticket to the whole event. It's a grand thing if you are a Maryland auto dealer. So everything's
Kyle, did we announce our keynote yet?
Did we announce our keynote? Just a couple times. You want to tell them about it again?
Yeah, but
you haven't announced our keynote.
Our keynote yet, but I go on LinkedIn and everybody is posting, I just read Unreasonable Hospitality. It's the best book I've ever written. And I'm like, do these people not know that the man, Will Goddara, is our main attraction, our keynote of all keynotes at this year's AsoduCon? I'm like, dude, you got to come. The price of the ticket alone.
Look,
for him,
just for him alone, the last conference that he spoke at that was paid ticketed, the cheapest ticket was $1,600.
No,
really? Not even kidding you. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So like, guys, you know, for dealers, you can get in under $500 and like, just that's worth the price of admission, let alone the fixed ops conversations and the operations and the marketing and all the
collaborations. Like this is, I mean, the thing I love about AsoduCon is the way that it attracts dealers, decision makers, who are on the cutting edge, who are on the cusp, who are that much further ahead. Yes, Will Goddara, that's worth the price of the ticket alone. The fact that what you just said, on top of all of that, to be in the same room as people who are out there on the front lines every single day. I mean, like individuals like Liza Borsches, a fourth-gen dealer owner who completely transformed the trajectory of her dealer group and has it growing like she accidentally spilt rocket fuel on the organization. Scott Simons, who knows how to sell cars from his personal brand and sometimes outpaces his sales team because of the personal brand that he's built, to be able to be in the room and ask people questions firsthand and not just get like blasé answers, but somebody like Scott, who's going to be like, you know what, come and sit down with me over here. And
he absolutely talk about will that. Be.
And I'm going to help you architect your personal brand. And then Will Goddara on top of that, like every day I think about this, I'm like, We might have gotten in too cheap on tickets.
Whoa. Well, hey, we got to get into it. So speaking of getting in too cheap.
Stop. Segway.
Time. Originally not getting in too cheap. GM was selling this Chevy Blazer EV, but they took a little pause back in the end of last year. They are coming back. The sales of the Blazer EV are resuming at reduced prices. And with a little software update that is providing significant changes and improvements to what the vehicle was last year. So they halted sales in December due to infotainment and fast charging issues, but they are confident that those things have been resolved. There's a couple new features like a customizable ambient lighting for, you know, all the moods you need in your car, a battery percentage display so you can see exactly what's going on with the battery. And then all you have to do is, you know, visit the dealership for software upgrades, which is weird. We'll get into that in a second. Despite not pinpointing a singular fault, GM emphasizes improved quality testing and software processes to avoid future issues. They've also reduced prices across the trims, and the $7,500 credit now being available on the hood. GM said in a statement, "We're confident these improvements will address concerns heard from some early owners, and as promised, we're carrying learnings over to other products in the GM's lineup." So they're scooting back, they're trying again, they're dropping back and punting Cirillo.
They're like, you know what experience we love? Co-op submissions. And yeah, that's the way we want software upgrades to feel.
I don't get the whole, like, you got to come into the dealership thing. I mean, for me, it's like, hey, if you're a dealer and you got these people coming back in, you got an opportunity here, you know, to do the thing that happens with recalls. But as an ownership experience, when you're in the Reddit threads on the news, hearing about how Tesla's like, we got a recall, boom, fixed, right? Yeah. For GM to need a different way of going at it. Just seems like behind, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel very 2024. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very, very, very 2024. Well, speaking of not feeling 2024.
Stop. Segway. Time.
The EV startup Fisker is definitely not feeling 2024 as Marcus Brownlee has kicked off their year with a little bit of drudgery. He posted a major critique of the Fisker Ocean about 3 weeks ago, and the backlash has been significant. If you don't know, Marcus Brownlee is one of the most prolific reviewers on YouTube, has over 18 million followers, and his videos get anywhere from 1 to 5 million views per video. The scathing review was titled, quote, "This is the worst car I've ever reviewed," and the review has now gone viral, amassing over 4.4 million views. So the story goes like this, and then we'll get kind of to the review. Basically, Brownlee asked Fisker for a vehicle initially, but they kept delaying. And so you know what he did, the same thing every resourceful YouTuber does. And he found one at JNS Mitsubishi. The EV maker had said, hey, please, please, please wait. We've got a software update coming that could be out before you make the review. That way, some of the things that you might experience will be fixed. And he said in his review, quote, "It's not really in my policy to wait on promised future software updates. I'm going to review the car that's out now that real buyers are actually living with." Mm. Have you seen the review, Cirillo? Have you seen this thing?
I haven't, but now it's making all sorts of sense why they were like scrambling to get dealers at NADA ahead of the review.
Yeah, no doubt. So here's the review, basically goes through and it actually gives a really, really nice picture of like the outside of the vehicle. And he said, you know, the look, the feel, the energy of the vehicle feels very futuristic, feels like something you'd want to get into, something you want to drive. But once you get into the technology side of it, some of the buttons, the user experience, even the drivability, he was crushing it. Here's the end of the story. This is the part of the story that I love. So the So the dealer that lent him this vehicle, when they it was reached out to, his name is George Saliba, I think is his name. When he was reached out to by Fisker, knew that they were calling and has someone record the call. That recording went up on his TikTok, has over 4.2 million views, and essentially is this senior Fisker engineer pleading for him to be able to reconcile the issues with this vehicle and kind of awkwardly asking for Brownlee's information, but also saying that he doesn't it because he wants the dealer to be the consumer. I'm already working on trying to get George, so if you know George, you got to get us his information. We don't need Marcus's information. We know we aren't getting that, but we would love to have George hanging out with us talking a little bit about this. But just kind of interesting, like the way that the PR game and the way that Fisker has kind of started to handle this. They haven't been available for comment. However, they've made some broad comments about how, you know, the software update is fixing a lot of the issues that Marquez, man, I can't imagine being an automaker, specifically a new automaker, with the way that like YouTube and TikTok plays the game in consumer products.
I just get a lesson in PR though. Like, you know, cause like we've seen automotive, we talk about this all the time. Automotive has seen set up stories. Like you remember Hyundai back in the early 90s, it was like driving a tin can, and that's what everybody right. talked about. They're like, man, this is the cheap vehicle. We know it's the cheap vehicle. Now look at them. I mean, they were like, okay, we'll take that setback and use it as a setup for a comeback. The fact that these guys are like, please don't show anyone, like,
right.
like just don't do that.
Don't
just
do
like
that.
Lean into it, reach out to Marquez or this dealer and be like, yo, the software update's back. Reach out to Mark. Well, however you say his name, Marquez.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, come back. We think you're going to enjoy this improvement. Do another review. Cause you know, he would, he's done that for Apple Vision Pro. He does it for all the different phones. He does it for everything.
Like ship him one. You ship know what I mean? One. Like that thing should show up in his driveway with an entourage at this point, software updated and everything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Speaking of Apple.
Segway.
Time. So much better. I was like, where's he going to go? I was going to say, speaking of thinking.
It's not particularly about Apple, but Rivian had a little bit of Steve Jobsy moment at the end of their reveal last week. Everybody knew that the R2 was coming. There was speculation about price points and the look, the feel, all that type of stuff. But right near the end of the event, there was a little one more thing moment, and they revealed the R3 and R3X, a sportier and slightly shorter electric SUV than the R2, catching the audience completely by surprise. The approach to the R3 showcases a strategic expansion of its electric vehicle lineup, emphasizing design, performance, and most importantly, affordability. They haven't released any price or pre-order dates exactly, but they say that they'll be within this year. And the R3 aims to offer a more compact version and be less than the $45,000 price point of the R2. The rear of it kind of like slopes back. Both the R3 and the R3X promise over 300 miles of range, which is getting a lot closer to what you see with like hybrids. You know, they are positioning it more in a competition with like the Ioniq 5 and the Kia EV6, which have obviously taken the EV landscape by storm. Not just that, but it's going to have a Tesla NACS port standard and a little bit more enhanced autonomous capability. So, Rivian, look at you trying to be all Apple-esque.
I think the word for me that you brought up is affordability, right? Because especially since I've been wandering the planet these days, it seems, I think about this affordability thing and especially how that contributes to the concept of disruptive innovation. You know, because like when we talk about disruption in our space, oftentimes I feel like we get it wrong. We're like, we misplace the concept of disruption with interruption. We're like, oh, to be disruptive means you have to disrupt the current business model, when really the whole concept of disruptive innovation is, how can I position my product in a place where all of the incumbent companies can't compete. And affordability, like you see that $4 smartphone in India, right, that's now like a multi-gazillion dollar company because they started giving a phone experience to a market demo that Samsung and Apple could never afford to build a phone for.
Wow. Yep. Affordability, man. It's coming in hot. Well, hey, look. We were coming in hot this Monday morning. Got Cirilla. We got a whole bunch of guests this week. Paul's on vacation, so you're hanging out with me. We got guests. They're coming in hot. We're excited because it's the middle of March, and March is just getting underway.